Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good to be a Christian. Good to be a Christian. I hear songs throughout the day on the radio, whatever, and songs make me think of Sarah and Tony, and I heard unspoken prayer, and that one always makes me think of Ryan. And I think that's a good thing for us to think about one another. I mean, I hope, you know, something dead along the road don't make you think about me, but we need to be encouraged by one another, because frankly, folks, we've got to be a unified front. You know, we're up against a foe out there that will do whatever he can to divide us, to defeat us, to hamper our fire. He will. So we've got to realize that we've got to support one another through thick and thin, through this and that, or whatever it might be. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you all. Each and every one of you all. I love each and every one of you all. And I feel like each and every one of you love me. And I appreciate that. And that's the stand we've got to hang on to. Because you know who loves each one of us more than we can even fathom? Jesus Christ. And he showed that through his death, burial, and resurrection. He loves us so much, he forsook all for me. That's pretty good stuff right there. That is. That's good stuff. You can take that to the bank, too. You can write a big check on that, too. Because it's a promise from the Heavenly Father. It's a promise from the Creator of all things. That's good stuff. I'll set when I'm putting this together, and I'll admit to y'all, I usually put this together an hour before I come. I'll think about stuff all week. Let's back up. I'll ask God to feed me stuff all week, and I'll just jot a note here and jot a note there, because I used to write everything down. You remember when I'd come up here with three pages of notes and blah, 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 blah. I've learned now that, you know, I'll think, man, I should be, but it's like he doesn't really just pour it out to me till an hour before it comes. And I suppose I'm learning that keeps it fresh. That keeps it immediate. And that keeps me from messing it up. Because if I learn it, you know, if I would do that on Thursday by today, well, I've tried to throw Jamie's edition in there and I mess it up completely. There's nothing better than when it's from the Holy Spirit, right? I think I've heard it said that we would rather have a Spirit-led preacher that can't speak eloquently than one that can say all the perfect words, be music to our ears, and yet it hits in the floor right there in front of us. Agreed? Agreed? Agreed. There we go. Praise the Lord. So there was one part. We're coming together as a unified group, right? We are part of the body of Christ. Drift Run Church, the organization of Drift Run Church, those that are saved are part of the body of Christ. We represent Christ wholly, completely, fully. We represent Drift Run locally. Right? Okay. Good. I had no idea this is what was going to come out of me. I'm telling you. That's good stuff. Stirring Wednesday night Bible studies. Now think of all the ones we've had. We've had some tremendous Bible studies that have stirred many emotions in us over the past several months. Agreed? Agreed. And with all... Let's see, all things work together for good, that those that love God and are called according to his purpose. And I was just on the phone with a good friend of mine, and we was talking about that very scripture right there. All things work together for good. And that's the way I always took that. And it was recently till I started adding to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. We discussed that. We both had realized that, how important that is. For us, do you love God tonight? Do you love Him? All things work together for good, for His purpose. Do we seek His purpose? What is His purpose for us? Is to be in, with Him in heaven eternity. What is His purpose for us? Is for us to share the gospel. For us to live the gospel. For us to be a unified group. Okay? Okay? Yeah. This is good. Praise the Lord. Here's a good one. We all had a piano lesson Wednesday night. Did we not? We learned on the piano, and I don't have a clue where it's at, but you go to middle C. And I couldn't tell you which one it is, but middle C. And how important is that in a piano lesson that we can put that as a life lesson, as Dave said. Middle C, Jesus Christ. That's where we need to come to focus together. Middle C, and that middle C is right there. Right there. It's not over there. It's not over there. It's not down there. It's not back there. It's not back there. Satan is all over out there. Middle C is right there. And that's helped me grow more in my spiritual life in the last several years, is realizing the middle C. Because through life, you young people and us older ones that have had a lot of experience out there in life, we've heard everything coming and a going. But the main focus is the middle C. And that's, I think I'm going to preach this tonight, but I ain't hit on anything yet. I heard the word splitting hairs mentioned Wednesday night. Okay, and you know how, and I think it was Jeff said, man, that takes a sharp knife. Exactly right. In all the events that I've been involved with a sharp knife trying to split a single hair, it turned into a bad cut that gushed and bled and created an infection, and it don't split hairs. Middle C. Middle C. Middle C. Middle C. I wrote down, and this is just a quick footnote, tensions in the room. And I was thinking about that this week, tensions in the room. Tensions in the room started a lot of churches. Many, Dave, you can, tensions in the room. Well, I don't know, I guess I'm going out there. I want to start my own thing. Hey, it's true, it's obvious. Look around us. Look around us. Middle C, folks. Middle C. When we're over here, are we looking up there? No. Middle C, that is the I cannot emphasize that enough tonight, is middle C in every aspect of our lives. Coming and a going and going and a coming. Middle C, Jesus Christ. The Bible, the Old Testament points forward to whom? Jesus Christ. The Gospels point toward whom? Jesus Christ. The epistles point toward whom? Jesus Christ. Revelation points toward whom? Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, all this other is fluff. Nonsense, foolishness, waste of time. Jesus Christ and Him alone. Whew. Had a guy tell me one time, and I've thought a lot about that, because sometimes I'll struggle to preach with clarity. Everybody know what clarity means? I know you do, Belinda. You know everything. Clarity means clearly. That if I don't understand the message, don't try to preach it. Preach with clarity. Preach clearly. Who was it said? I can't think of it. It was a great, powerful speaker said, if I can't make a six-year-old understand the gospel, then I'm not doing it right. We need to preach the gospel with clarity, clear, that each and every one of us can understand. So, I'm about to get started here. So, what I was thinking about is I haven't been under my house in probably a couple of years. And what does my house depend on? My whole house depends on what's under my house. What the foundation is. So we got to realize, I got to go look at that foundation once in a while. Agreed? You know, we got a pretty good foundation under this, but we need to not forget about it. We need to not neglect it. Concrete will tend to erode. Is that correct, Greg? Will flake away. You've seen when a storm comes through and wipes out everything? If you've got a good foundation, what's left? The foundation. That's what we got to have right here at Drift Run Church. We got to have a foundation. So, there was a question asked. If you would, go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And there was a question asked in teen class today. Why did God give us the Ten Commandments to begin with? And we're going to read those, and then we'll have a prayer. And we're going to read verses Exodus 12, 21 through 1 through 17. And everybody knows it. Everybody knows of the Ten Commandments. There's probably not many of us that can recite them. And that you know, it's probably right. We know of them. So, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And here's the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generations of them that hate me. Verse 6, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor the maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Let us pray. Lord, again, we're coming here tonight, coming to bow before you, Lord, coming to ask you to fill us with your word, with your spirit here this evening, Lord, to move upon our hearts, Lord, that we can receive and seek you and seek you alone, Lord. We ask him for guidance here through your word tonight, Lord. May it fall on receptive hearts. May it be stirred within us through your Holy Spirit. And again, I ask, Lord, to get me out of the way, Lord. May this all be proclaimed for your glory. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Amen. And that's always good reading, the Ten Commandments. And the question was, why did he give us the Ten Commandments? And most of you know, and we tried to explain that this morning, that he gave us the Ten Commandments to show us our failure, to show us our shortcomings, to show us that we can't be perfect, to show us we can't make our way to God on our own. In the first few verses I've got wrote down here was about the law, about works, about, I'm going to go to Luke 18, verse 9 through 14. Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto a certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to the house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I got another couple of verses to read there. These are found in Romans 9:32. Says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Romans 10:3. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And that's showing us the failures of folks that before Christ was trying to do it on their own. They were trying to please God with their own self. And we know, from the words that's come out of this pulpit, from the words that come from the teaching pedestals, from the words that come to our youth, we realize that we can't be good enough. Agreed? We are not good enough. Jesus Christ is the only way. Okay. So let's go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verse 25. I'm going to read 24 also. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he asked her a question, but he was making a statement. He is the resurrection. Let's go to John chapter 14, just a couple to the right. John chapter 14, what a chapter. I'm going to read verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So what I'm reading those for is to help us to realize that our foundation is built on Jesus Christ. Agreed? Okay, now I'm going to go on down. Lord, guide me right now, Lord. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You're saved by grace. This is, he's speaking to saved people. He's speaking to the Ephesians, the church of Ephesus. Okay, so he's speaking to us. Christian, anybody that's a Christian here tonight, he's speaking to us right here. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Man, I was dead as a doorknob. I was lost. I was caught up in that. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Man, that's back when we was chasing our tails. And I remember chasing my tail, thinking everything out there is going to satisfy me. Okay, That's who he's speaking to. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Sometimes when I contemplate what I was, I am so ashamed of the thoughts that I had and the things that I'd done and the way that I tried to justify what I was doing. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. You know, we could run to John 3:16 right there. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is the ages to come. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9 says, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So once we're saved, what he's telling us, he saved us with his mercy, and he had created us when he created man. He created us to serve him. He created us that our works would be done to glorify him. Agreed?
Agreed.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. And it's I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. Philippians chapter 2, just a couple to the right. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Remember again, this is Paul writing to the Philippian church. He's writing to Christians. He's writing to us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's why we emphasize caring about each other here and lifting each other up in prayer. That testimony Lucinda had a while back, God led her through every pew praying for each and every one of us. That's the heart we need to seek. That's what he's talking about here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You think Jesus would go through every pew and touch each and every one of our individual lives? He would. We know he would. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Key right there, he stooped to our level. That's what that's saying. He didn't say, oh, I'm God, you're going to do it this way. No, he stooped down and he lived among us. He received every temptation that we ever had. But he didn't fail. He lived perfectly without sin. Verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can we do that tonight? Can we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord? Is Jesus Christ Lord of your life?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Agreed. Agreed. Verse 12, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring or disputing, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Isn't that exactly where we're at today? In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights unto the world. Holding forth the word of life. That speaks for itself. I really can't add to that. But I focused on that this week. Work out your own salvation. I remember thinking, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I can just get saved and make it however I want? You know, that's cool, that's cool. Not even for a second is that accurate. It means to seek God, okay? To seek what He would have you to do. To seek your calling. To respond to your convictions of what God convicts you in your heart. To seek that. Because you know what? It's a relationship between you and God. It's not a relationship between you and Drift Run and God.
Amen.
Between you and anybody else and God. It is a personal thing between Tim Miller and the God, the Creator of heaven, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So, he's meaning, take it very serious what your salvation is. How serious do you take your salvation? That's a very serious thing. And contemplate on that. Think about that this week. Think about that salvation. What is that salvation to you? Seek it out, what God has for you through that salvation, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Verse 16. This is words in red. This is directly to us, folks. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See your good works. What motivates your good works? It's what Jesus done for you. And let that reflect in your life what Jesus done for you through your works. It says, how is it said? Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18. James chapter 2, verse 18 says, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. I don't work to be saved. I work because I'm saved. Agreed?
Agreed.
You want to get a song?